This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can visit us at www.lwkyabram.com.
From the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So these verses, God was commissioning Joshua. And it got me thinking, there's some pretty obvious things God says there, like Moses is dead. Everyone knew Moses was dead. So why did God use language like this? Why does God say three times, be courageous, be strong and courageous? And it just got me thinking that God was leading Joshua to be intentional. So that's what I'm speaking about tonight, was being intentional. So I just wrote down, God intentionally commissioned Joshua. Now I'm not saying that God was intentionally commissioning Joshua, but God wanted to commission Joshua for him to be intentional in what he does, in what he did. So Joshua was Moses' aide. He was learning in the background. So all the 40 years in the desert and previous to that, Joshua got the opportunity to be with Moses and learn from him. And it got me thinking to when I was at school, I didn't have a very strong relationship with God, unlike Joshua. So the entire time I was at school, I wasn't intentional in anything I did, especially homework. People at school, you know, they can be pretty cruel, especially to someone who's not very confident, and I was the shortest out of everyone, so I certainly attracted a lot of attention from the bullies. And people all the time, they knew I was a Christian, they'd try and confuse me, they'd try to prove that God wasn't real, and I would try and come up with all these arguments of why God was real, which is, you know, pretty silly because you can't prove either way. God is, that's the fact. I found out that I needed to be intentionally strong in my relationship with God. Otherwise, I'd just get bullied, I'd get pushed around. People certainly wouldn't look to me for any leadership qualities. So I came up with these things that Trevor's spoken about before, but we need to be intentional in going to church. We need to be intentional in reading His Word. We need to be intentional when we pray. We need to be intentional in our marriage. And for me, or for the guys, fathers in this room, you need to be intentional in being a good father. They're just some of the things I come up with. There's lots of things that we need to be intentional about. You can't get through life unless you have intentions. You can't go to work unless you have an intention to go to work. You can't be good at your work unless you're intentionally good at your work. You can't get through school really well unless you're intentional. You only just scrape through if you're not intentional. So point number one is church, or being intentional in going to church. So in Luke 4:16-19, we read that when Jesus went to Nazareth, or when he went to Nazareth as Jesus, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." So Jesus was intentional in going to church. We read there that it says it was his custom. So this wasn't the first time that Jesus went to church. He just didn't walk along, go to a town and think, "No, there's a church there, maybe I'll go and check it out, see what it's like," or a synagogue in his day. But he was intentional. It was his custom. And the disciple who wrote this obviously knew that it was his custom, otherwise he wouldn't have used those words. So when I was young, just going back to my childhood, I certainly wasn't intentional in going to church. I can blame my parents for that. No, not really. When I was younger, my parents got hurt going to church, and they decided not to go because that'd fix them. And of course, that's a silly thing to do. I think, you know, we can all get hurt and not go to church. It's so easy. But the only person you're hurting is yourself. So I grew up not going to church. I have two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister, so we never went to church as a family. So when I started having a hard time in year 12, I found a friend who was a Christian. There was 600 people at the school I went to. I think there were three Christians that I found. So I found one of them, and we started going to church. His family went to church, so I started going to church with him. But I was certainly never intentional about it. I just went because he was going. I thought, oh, well, I'll go check it out, see what it's like. So when I got called up here for my first job, which was 24 years ago, I certainly had no intentions of going to this church. Not anything wrong with this church, and the person who brought me here is not here tonight, so I can speak about him. So I have had lots of relatives here in the Chuka-Moama region, and my mum rang them up and said, have you got anywhere for Mark to stay? So my cousin, Colin, said, yeah, I know a guy called Nick, and he needs someone to stay with him. So I went and stayed with a guy called Nick Mione, and I ended up rocking up here on the Sunday. Nick said, oh, we're going to church Sunday night, would you like to come along? And I thought, oh yeah, I'll come along, see what it's like, check it out. Typical me. I wasn't intentional about going. But that night I actually met my wife there, and 24 years later she still puts up with me. So I started going to the church because I wanted to see Jen. There was lots of people in this church around about my age, and when I mean that, probably 15 or 20 people around my age. So it was a really great community of younger people in their early 20s. So I started also coming to church just for the friends. And that's not a bad thing, you know, not a bad reason to come to church. But after a while, the friends started dropping away, and I decided I needed to become intentional about coming to church. So I decided that if I was going to get anywhere in life, if I was going to get anywhere in my faith, that I was going to be intentional in coming to this church. I made this church my home. I became a member of this church, which was actually something that Mum and Dad sort of said not to do. Just again, because out of their hurts, but I decided that I was going to be intentional. I was going to commit to this church, and I've been here obviously over 24 years now, and I love this place. I love the people that are here. There's lots of people that have come and gone, but everyone here is family. They're here to see, you know, we're here to see each other succeed in our faith and to do amazing things for God. So becoming intentional in coming to church, you know, just has so many benefits, and that's why God wants us to become intentional in coming into church. What happens when we become intentional about coming to church, and it might be unintentional, but we actually become leaders in this area. And I noticed that in my own life, even though I mightn't be a natural leader, that in my family I actually became a leader in this area. So my little sister, who I got on really well with, still do, she decided to come up to this new place called Kyabram she'd never heard of, and she came along to this church and she really loved it, and she started going to church. So I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, one of my family members now goes to church. I mean, she was always a Christian, but now she had somewhere, or she found a church down in Melbourne, and she became intentional in going to her church. Then my older sister came up a few weeks later or a few months later, and she decided to check out this place called Kyabram and the church, and probably the girlfriend I had at the time. And she decided church is not bad, so she started going to church, and she met her husband there. Then after a little while, I'm talking probably 20 years later, or maybe not 20 years, maybe 15 years later, my dad started going to a church down where he lived. And not so much going to the church, but he got friendly with the minister down there and struck up a good friendship with him. I think he went occasionally. But then my mum started going to church, and she actually went to that church for about 8 years, I'd say, before she passed away. So from someone who's not having many leadership qualities, just from being intentional, I was able to lead my whole family, if you like, into church. And now that we have four kids of our own, you know, I've been able to lead be an example to, you know, 10 people in my own family who have, you know, been coming to church. So being intentional, you know, it gives us leadership qualities that we might not realise that we have, and we can affect other people's lives. Point number two is being intentional in reading the Word. So in Luke 4:16-19, we're not going to read it again. Jesus knew where the scripture was in Isaiah. So when they handed Jesus, we read there that they handed Jesus the scroll of Isaiah. Now you can imagine it wasn't a page, it wasn't go to this page or go to this verse. It was just a big scroll, but he rolled down to the scroll, found the place where it was written about him. He knew where it was, and that's not because he was God. It was because he was intentional about reading the scriptures of his day. So we don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says Jesus was intentional about reading, but we can see the evidence shows he knew the scriptures well. So he was definitely reading the scriptures. When I was a young kid again, one thing we used to do at Bible study was memorize scriptures. And as a kid, it's a lot easier to memorize scriptures, I think, than as an adult. And even now, you know, 40 years later or 30 years later, I can remember some of these scriptures I was taught as a kid. But if I try and memorize a scripture now, it's quite hard. So getting into the Word is just so important, and being intentional about it, especially when you're young and your mind is fresh, it'll stay with you for all of your life. Now, being intentional about scripture or reading scripture, I started doing things like daily devotions, such as Every Day with Jesus. And I did this because my wife used to do that and still does do it. So she was intentional in doing this every day, and she actually led me into doing it. So for 22 years or so, I've been reading Every Day with Jesus. And it's just a little devotional, if no one's heard of it, just a little devotional where he brings a scripture and then he expounds on that scripture, his thoughts. And then another one I do every day is Believing in You. So that's Steve McCracken. I don't know if anyone's heard of Steve McCracken. There's a few people who would have. So he's from Melbourne. And it's just an email. So if you've got an email, you can actually get his daily devotional. Again, it's just a scripture, and then he gives his thoughts on it. So these are just two little things that I do every day. So it's a way that I find that I can get my head in the Word every day. And it's only a small thing, but you know, everyone can do a daily devotional or two, or read a verse a day, and it's especially if they're dated, you know, I just find it a challenge to try and get through the right scriptures at the right day. So it's just a great way to do it. But God wants us to go further than that. And I noticed Trevor was speaking again a little while ago on getting into the Word and journaling. So if you get the opportunity to read a scripture and or a few scriptures every day, You get that close relationship with God, and you start to get the, you know, understanding and personal revelation from His Word. And I just love it. If I go to bed at night time, I'd get the Bible out and just read a few scriptures at night time, and just get that the revelation. And it's just so exciting. And you know, you just get that burning feeling in your heart, like it says in the scriptures when the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus and they actually met Jesus, and they said, weren't our hearts burning within us with the scripture? And there's just nothing better than, you know, getting into the scriptures and just seeing God speak to us, and just some, you know, you can say some amazing things. And Trevor was talking about journaling, so I started doing that, although I haven't done it enough. But I started journaling and writing down what God was saying, and you go back over the journals and it's just amazing, you know, what God can say to you. It might be just a little thing here or there, and I just write down my thoughts, but God can just say some amazing things to you when you get into the Word. It's just it's so crucial to us, you know, growing as Christians. And point number three is prayer. So Jesus knew the importance of prayer. So in Mark 1:3-35. So Mark 1:35, it's very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So we find there that Jesus was intentional about prayer. There were lots of people that needed Jesus. We see in the miracle of feeding the 4,000, the miracle of feeding the 5,000, there was lots of people who might have been there just because they wanted free food. There was lots of people there because they wanted healing. There were lots of people there because they wanted to be set free. There was people who wanted guidance in their life. And there's people who wanted teaching out of the Bible. There's lots of reasons why people follow Jesus around. There was people everywhere. They were always crowding around him. You can imagine that Jesus would have been the most wanted person one way or another in his time. So there was always an opportunity for Jesus to minister to someone in many different ways, but he always found time to pray. He never let the busyness of life get in the way of him spending time with his Father in prayer. And again, I'm preaching to me, because praying is probably one of the easiest things I find to forget or not to do when life gets busy. When life gets hard, when things get on top of you, praying is probably the first thing that I forget to do or don't do. So I'm certainly not preaching this, you know, from a place of having arrived. This is this is all for me. And when I was thinking about praying too, I know a lot of people, they, you know, say, when you pray, how does God talk to you? And I guess God talks in a lot of different ways. But just for me, he just puts ideas into my head. So I might just have a thought or an idea that pops into my head. And I know when I'm intentional about praying, when I spend time at night time, in my room alone, and I'm just, you know, read the word, and then I might pray to God, and I'll just say something in my mind, or even say it out loud to God, and say, "Hey God, what about this? What do you think about this?" And you know, God will just pop a thought in your head. Well, this is what I think about this, and it's just amazing, you know. And then I'll think, "Oh, you actually answered me," and then I'll say something else, and then He'll answer back. And it's just, again, it's just so amazing. You know, you just get so excited when you have that conversation with God, and you can only have this when you're committed to praying, when we're intentional about praying. If you just pray every now and again, we become so dry and we don't get that personal relationship or the deep relationship we need with God. This is what God intended it to be like. He intended us to be able to communicate with Him, to commune with Him all the time. And we notice that, again, if we look at Adam and Eve back in Genesis, that they walk with God in the cool of the night. And we don't get too many cool nights here. But no, we can walk with God in the cool of our air conditioning. We can talk to Him. If we got that close relationship with Him, we can talk with Him all the time, and He'll talk back to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to communicate with us. But again, we have to be intentional about setting aside time to do that. We also read in Acts 16:6-9. I'm not going to read that out, but that's where Paul was talking about going into different places to preach the word. But we say Paul was kept from preaching in a certain place. So Paul was intentional in what he did, but he was also intentional in what he didn't do. If the Holy Spirit told him not to go to a place, he wouldn't go. Or if the Holy Spirit told him to go to a place, he would go. In his case, it might have been an audible voice. We know he certainly had the dreams and visions that he obeyed, but he was intentional in what he did and what he didn't do, in the places he went to and the places he didn't go to. And again, that was purely because he had a close relationship with God. He set time aside to listen to God, to commune with God, and he was able to hear from God. And it kept him from doing not just the wrong thing, but kept him in the right direction as well. I know I've been talking to God lately about, you know, some of the struggles that I have in life, some of the temptations to do the wrong thing. And certainly, you know, being a guy, you mightn't believe it, but sometimes, you know, I can be a hothead and do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, you know, put the foot down on the accelerator at the wrong time. And I've always been asking God, you know, God, why do I keep on doing the wrong things all the time? You know, what do I have to do? How can I actually control myself? God, why didn't you make me like a robot so you can control me? But He made us this way for a reason. And God was just reminding me that Paul says that if we follow the Spirit, we won't follow the flesh. And I'm thinking, well, how do I follow the Spirit? And again, it's that relationship with God. You know, when we spend time in His Word, time in prayer, and we gratify the Spirit, we don't gratify the flesh. And it was, even though I knew that, it's just like a revelation. It's like, oh, why didn't I think of that before? So point number four is marriage. So not everyone's here is married, but one of the things I always wanted to do was have a good marriage. And it wasn't, not that I wanted to marry a good wife, although I have. I always knew that a good marriage was something that I needed to work on. It's not the other person. It's always me. And again, that's something that I've been learning over the years. So I know when we first started going out, you know, when we're dating, or when you're dating, you do everything you can to please the other person. We go out of our way, we go on dates, we compliment them on the way they look or what they do, we buy gifts for them, and even young guys change their personal hygiene habits and actually start to smell nice instead of some of the young teenagers who don't smell so nice. But after a while, you might notice that after a few years, you know, you start to take your husband or your wife for granted. You don't go on dates anymore. And I know kids made it hard for us. Our parents weren't around, so we didn't go on many dates. And then you hear many people stop talking. Yeah, when I watch television, you watch all the worldly shows or even some of the reality shows, they talk about, oh, you know, after a few years, we ran out of things to talk about. So, you know, we got divorced because we had nothing to talk about. And you'll notice that a lot of people get divorced at 7 years. It's that 7-year itch, as they call it. But I've also learned that not talking isn't something, you don't talk because you run out of things to talk about. You run out of things to talk about because you don't talk. It's actually the other way around. Talking and communication in a marriage is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the better you get at communication. And again, that's something in my life I certainly need to do a lot of work on. So I had some wise people in this church actually told me I need to go on some dates and get a babysitter. So we have had a few babysitters over the years. And be intentional about doing things for our marriage. And I actually realised that, you know, the more we went out on dates, the closer we became. Again, it's like a muscle. The more we talked, the better we became, or better I became at it anyway. Again, one of the things that one of my friends told me was after work, what we should do is actually set aside some time just to talk together. So when I come home from work now, you know, make a coffee or make a hot chocolate or something for my wife, and we sit down and we have a bit of a chat for, you know, might be 10, 20 minutes, something like that. And that's something I found very hard at the start. It certainly took years to get used to it, but now it's something I look forward to more than anything. I know last year I had a pretty hard year at work. I got pretty crook probably 18 months ago, which is not last year, the year before. And the one thing that kept me sane was actually knowing that at the end of the day, I actually get to come home and sit with Jen and have a coffee. So, you know, something, being intentional about it and keeping on doing it, even though I found it uncomfortable, years later, it actually really helped me. And I was able to get through some pretty difficult times just because I had the capacity to talk and explain. I guess, you know, guys can, or are well known for bottling things up and not talking, not sharing their emotions, because it's not a manly thing to do. It's certainly not an Australian manly thing to do. But I found that actually helps me. So again, something I need to work on a lot more, but something that really helped me get through the last few years. And another thing I used to do, or I did a little while ago, I had this great idea that I was going to pray and fast for my wife, because I love seeing my wife grow, and I really admire lots of things about her, and I wanted to see her grow more and more. So I decided I was going to pray and fast for 1 year for my wife. I don't know if I've explained that to her. And of course, unless God tells you, you can't pray and fast every day for a year, because you wouldn't survive. So I decided I was going to pray and fast every Tuesday for 1 year. So I got to doing that, and of course the people at work noticed that I wasn't eating every Tuesday, so they thought I was trying to save money, and they call it Tight Ass Tuesday. So every now and again they'll ask me about Tight Ass Tuesday, you know, you're trying to save money. So I actually got the opportunity to explain to them prayer and fasting, and trying to explain prayer and fasting to people at work is pretty hard because they don't understand that at all. But what I found is it didn't change Jen at all. I don't think it did. I didn't notice. But wow, it changed me. And that's one of the secrets that I tell to a lot of people now who are, you know, finding it a bit hard in their marriage. And you think your wife has got some problems, or you think your husband's got some problems. Why not do a year of prayer and fasting? And it's pretty silly to think the prayer and fasting will change them, but God will certainly change you when you do it. So yeah, it was just such a revelation to me, an eye-opener that, hey, you know, I need to work on me, even though I knew I needed to work on me. Praying for my wife for a year actually worked on me, and it's just amazing. Yeah, it was, what a great revelation. So point number five is also kids. So one thing I was determined to do was bring up some good kids. And I don't know what happened, but yeah, I got some really good kids. When I was growing up, I was very analytical, and I like to analyse the way my parents brought us up. So I looked at things my dad did and looked at things that my mum did, and I was certainly grateful for the way they brought us up. They were fantastic parents, but I looked at them and analysed what they did, and I thought, well, I'm going to take the good things that they do and I'm going to use them. I'm going to take the bad things that they do and change them. I know in society nowadays, there seems to be a lot of excuses in life for why do I do the things I do, or why I do the things the way I do them. It's my parents' fault. And if you go to a psychologist, they'll say, it's all your parents' fault. You've got to blame your parents. The fact is, every parent that's ever walked this earth is human. In other words, they were born into sin and they sin. They're not perfect. They're never going to be. So we can quit blaming our parents. We actually have a Father in heaven who is perfect. And we can ask him to show us what's good, what's not, to look at our parents and say, yes, that worked. No, that didn't work. Yes, I'm going to use that because it worked. No, I'm not going to use that when it didn't work. So I just decided to be really thankful for my parents, but I wanted to add to what they did and have some better kids than me, because I know I was a bit of a terror when I was young. And hopefully I modelled it to my kids that when they grow up and have their own kids, that they'll do better again. So every generation, I want our family to get better and better at being closer to God. I certainly don't want it to decline. We want to leave every generation better than what we found it. So in Mark 10:13-16 says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them and blessed them. It always got me wondering, what happened to those kids when they grow up? You know, imagine having Jesus put his arms around you when you're a kid and bless you. Because his words weren't empty. His words are powerful. They didn't return to heaven void. They returned to heaven achieving what he said. So imagine the blessings he prayed over those kids. Jesus was intentional in praying for kids. He said, don't rebuke them. Let them come here. Come here. I want to pray for them. I want to bless these kids. I want them to grow up with these words growing inside them. So when I pray for my kids, I was certainly intentional to pray for them every night or every night I could. I pray a prayer over them, a blessing over them. And I knew that because there was words from the Bible, I knew there was power in it. And I bet my kids could quote exactly what I say right now because I said it every night. But there's power in the words because it's his words. And I was intentional in making sure that they knew the blessing of the Father when they went to sleep. Another thing a person taught me from this church was daddy-daughter dates. And I actually saw a guy taking his daughter out on a date, and I thought, that's a bit strange. Why don't you take your wife out on a date? But then I realised, hey, it's a great thing to do. So now I get the opportunity to take all my kids out one by one. We go out on a date, if you like, but it's really just breakfast. We go out for breakfast or something like that. And it's one thing that in the start might have been a bit of a chore for me, but now I really love it. God has showed me the importance of it, and now I've grown to love it. Now I'm going to pick on my oldest daughter. So I noticed because I've got four kids, we only go out maybe once a month. Each kid gets to go out once a month. And the other day, my oldest daughter came to me, and it wasn't her turn. And she said, hey, do you want to go out for breakfast? And I was about to say, no, it's not your turn. And then the Holy Spirit pulled me up and said, hang on. Maybe she's got something she wants to talk to you about. So I said, yep, let's go out for breakfast. Now, I got no idea whether she had something that she wanted to talk to me about, but I had that, because we've had that opportunity or had the habit of going out for breakfast or being intentional about going out for breakfast, I know now that there would be times when I'd be able to give her some advice. Now that she's growing up into a young lady and starting to move out of home, you know, there might be some times where I can give her some advice, and, you know, breakfast is just another way where it's not confrontational. It's just an easy and relaxed place where we can talk about things. So, yeah, what a wonderful way to listen to our kids and impart wisdom into them. And then I got thinking about other things, like when it comes to driving, learners now have to do 120 hours before they can get their license. And Chloe, not a problem. She loved driving. She loves driving with the pedals flat to the floor. But my next daughter, she doesn't like driving. She hates it. And so I had to actually drag her kicking and screaming into the car. But as soon as I get her in the car, something really weird happens. Because she doesn't talk very much. Her mouth opens up. She starts telling me about all these different things that's going on in her life. I think, ooh, how cool is this? It's even though I'm taking her for a driving lesson and we have to do it for 120 hours, it's another daddy-daughter date. I get the opportunity to sit in the car and listen to all her problems. For some reason, driving the car just loosens her lips. And I get to hear about all those things that I could nag her about and, you know, say, ask her what's going on in your life. And I don't have to do that when I get in the car. She just tells me all about it. I mean, what a privilege to listen to your kids and, again, impart wisdom into their life. And something that might be a chore in the start, it's still a chore for her to drive, but something that might have been a chore for me, you know, dragging her into the car when she doesn't want to go, become a pleasure for me because I get the opportunity to you know, impart wisdom into their lives. I have another daughter who's about to get a learner's, so I guess we'll see what happens. The other day, I've been on holidays actually for about 4 weeks, and I sort of had being on holidays, I'm intentional about doing something just about every day because you got to get things done on the holidays. You got to go here, you got to go there, you got to go camping. We had a doctor's appointment in Echuca, and so I had to take my youngest daughter to the doctor. And after that, there was a movie across in Shepparton. We went to the doctor in Echuca, and there's a movie in Shepparton. I thought, oh, that's, you know, nearly an hour's drive. I'm on holidays, I can't be bothered. But I thought, no, I'll be intentional. So I decided, even though it's a long way to go over there, I'll go over there and spend some time with my other daughter, the youngest daughter. So again, I don't know whether she enjoyed it or not, but you know, you had to be intentional about doing things with your kids. So again, we mightn't have said much, but we spent time together and I had to be intentional about doing it because I had to go out of my way. And I've got a young son, Joshua, who's not here tonight. I was speaking to Jim guess a lot of you guys know Jim, Pastor Jim, and he was saying that young boys, that when they start to grow up, they actually transition from spending a lot of time with their mothers to spending time with their fathers. I thought, my boy doesn't like spending time with me at all, which is fine, I didn't mind. But then when he hit 12, he started wondering where I was because I was doing a lot of work last year. And he started asking Mum, where's Dad? You know, why isn't Dad home from work? And I'm thinking, maybe Jim was right. The fact that he has four boys, he probably is right. So last year, Josh started asking where I was. I'm thinking, hang on, this is not good. I need to be intentional about spending some time with him. So Josh said, why don't we go camping? Why don't we go here? Why don't we go and do that? So I thought, all right, I'm going to be intentional. So I intentionally took holidays. And I used up all my holidays, but I intentionally did it. And I intentionally planned to go camping. So in a week's time, I get to go camping with my young son. We get to do things together. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So again, you know, being intentional about things, we can take it as a chore, or we can actually look for the silver lining, if you like, but for the blessing that God does give us. When I was young, my dad took me to the cricket, and I didn't really like cricket much when I was young. But I still remember going to the cricket, and then I learned to love it afterwards. I thought the same with my son. He didn't want to go cricket. I thought, I'll take him anyway, kicking and screaming, because it's something he'll remember for the rest of his life. So again, I had to be intentional about finding a train and, you know, taking the train down there and spending some money and being with him. And now when he sees the MCG on the television, he goes, oh, we were there. He loves trains. So again, I had to be intentional about, you know, going to some museums. We went to a museum last weekend down in Melbourne. And he really loved the museum. So I didn't have to take him kicking and screaming. But it was, again, it's more money you have to spend, it's more time out of your day. But I was intentional about it because I knew it's something that he'll remember for the rest of his life. So now I've just been, you know, learning over the last few years how being intentional about everything in our lives, especially in the things of God, bringing up our family and our marriage, we can see it as a chore, but there's just so many positive things. And that's how God's word, or how his life, his kingdom works in us. That when we put the hard yards in, we do things intentionally, there's relationship at the end of it, there's benefits at the end of it, and that's why he made us the way that we are. He knows how we work, what's best for us. So if we follow his plan, then we get the benefit of knowing him more, that we get the benefit of having, you know, beautiful families. We get the benefit of leading other people into being intentional as well. So when I thought about possessing the land, how Joshua was intentional, that's what I thought about, being intentional in all these areas. There are other areas that we can be intentional in as well, but these are the areas that I thought, for me, these are the most important areas in my life that I wanted to be intentional about. And again, I'm not preaching out of someone who's arrived, I'm just preaching out of what I've learnt, and God obviously will continue to grow in me more habits to be intentional in things that I need to do. So that's all I have for tonight. So if there's anyone who would like prayer about areas in their life that they'd like to be more intentional about, or if you'd like to be prayer about anything else, feel free to come out the front. Otherwise, have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and have a good time, have a fellowship, and we'll see you all again tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
Don't forget, you can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.